Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. We'll read Galatians 5, verse 16. We'll read through 6:10. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Thank you. So, I want to focus really on this section, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Now, we know from, we already read it, but Paul talks about sowing to one's own flesh is to do things in order to satisfy our own fleshly desires, and that's not good, right? We know that in the letter to the Galatians, Paul scolds them for that, as well as this turning away from the gospel, right? So it's like, why would you go back to Judaism? Why would you go back to sacrifice? Why would you go back to the law, fulfilling yourself, trying to make yourself just before God by doing the law? And of course, there's that famous verse, the just shall live by faith alone, right? Luther read that and went, wow, you know, I'm fixing to slap my face because I'm thinking it's amazing, but I've been told, don't touch my face. It's hard. I got to move back a little bit. Sorry, you're too close. I'm not even going to look over here. Sorry, because she makes me laugh. I'm sorry. But that's not really an exclusively a problem with the Galatian church. Though we're 99% Gentiles, right? We still are inclined, and we're not really inclined to go back to the temple and go to sacrifices. But with time, we tend towards formalism, where we just come and do the things we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be here. We're supposed to be nice to each other. I'm supposed to say hi to people and be nice and all that. And sometimes that's a struggle for people that are more introverted than others. But it can become just a formal thing. This is what we do every Sunday. We just come to church, and it has no meaning. That's not good. It's basically the same kind of Pharisaical religion that has no warmth. And it doesn't happen like that. It's like the frog in the boiling water, right? The water's cold, the frog's in the water, and you slowly boil it, and pretty soon he's dead because he's boiled to death. So it happens slowly. It just happened to me and Sandy. She's in the nursery, by the way. It's happened to me and Sandy in churches where, wow, it started out, the gospel is being preached every Sunday. It's like, wonderful, this is where I want to be, and slowly turns into a seeker-friendly kind of church. Wow, it was so slow, I didn't even realize we lost anything. But that can happen. So we want to, obviously, I want to try to make a connection with this, bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. So again, the theme of the book is law versus grace, Jewish religion versus faith in Christ alone. Obviously, during what Paul is writing in this letter, there's some that are living immoral lives. Sure. So bear one another's burdens is somewhat related to that, right? How do we bear their burdens of someone that's caught in sin, right? Well, we gently try to correct them, right? We don't. But I think there's more to it then, because after that verse, verse 3, if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one must examine his own work. There were other things going on in the Galatian church as well. There were, I think, and I may be jumping here, I don't find a lot of commentaries to talk about this, but there's two sections of the church. There's one that was like, okay, we want to go back to the sacrifices and only eating the right kind of meat and or not meat sacrificed to idols. Then there's other section that was like, no, Paul said we don't have to do that anymore. So there was some division in the church. And I think what he's saying here, part of what he's saying is, yes, bear with the person that's fallen into sin and help them. But also, hey, let's be careful in how we deal with the people that don't agree with us inside the church. Because there's bound to be disagreements. We solve that somehow by having denominations when there's some bigger issue that we just can't live with. But sometimes it's just something simple. So I don't know whether Paul, in verse 2, whether he's anticipating it, or perhaps someone in the church, some communication went to him and said, hey, there's an issue going on in the Galatians church. I'm not sure which is happening here, but I think I'd like to take it in that direction anyway. Some people in the Galatian church were disparaging or rejecting other members who may have a lack of theology, or yes, just some kind of other kind of issue. So Paul is suggesting, I think he's suggesting that instead of despising and hating one another on account of faults, maybe, or even mistaken theology, we need to be careful not to use that as a way to enhance our own image. I hate to tell you this, but it's just a part of human nature is we like to find people that are inferior to us, even if they're not inferior to us, and point them out so that it make us feel better. It's just part of human nature. Or maybe it's part of Robin Eckhart's nature. I don't know. But Paul brings that up in Romans 15 also. It says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. So in a church like this, and I'm serious when I prayed that, this is a little oasis here where we're not going around trying to find fault with each other. And we really have the best interest of everybody in mind. That's a big deal. You don't realize how big a deal that is, because when I go to work, the people are not after my best interest. They're trying to use me in some way, right? I mean, that's the law of nature. That's the way it is. And I'm not complaining about anything that's going on in this church. It really is an oasis for me to come here and be able to know that even with all my different faults, you're at least bearing with my burden, my burdens. Obviously, bearing with the errors of another doesn't mean flattering them with that they're right. We don't have to go say, yeah, you're right. You're allowed to tell people, correct people by the scriptures, obviously, if they have a wrong opinion, or even if they have an immoral behavior that they're exhibiting. Yeah, we're called to do that. In love, of course, but we're called to do that. I'm doing the Scott Autry thing with my iPad here. This is a Bible, by the way. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm not denying that verse 2 refers to how we treat repented believers caught in sin, absolutely. But it also refers, I think, to doctrinal error as well as simple human weaknesses where believers living in the church like this are to bear one another's burdens. So let's look at the verse again. What is the law of Christ? Are you referring to some new one? Is this something, some big, giant deal? Is he talking about the whole Ten Commandments, or is Paul talking about some specific? specific. I think he's looking back to what John wrote in John 13. Now, he might not have had that book, but let's turn to John 13, verse 34. Oops. John. No, obviously not 34. Oh yeah, there it is, John 13, 34. Nope. Oh wow, I didn't think it would be this difficult to navigate in here. Somebody read John 13, 34 and 35. Thank you. The loudest person in the room read that. I don't know if you heard it over the internet, but let me read it again. A new commandment I give to you. This is in the proper version. That was ESV. This is the proper version. A new commandment I give to you that you love. Sorry. A new commandment I give to you that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Okay, so this is pretty simple what he's talking about. He's not talking about, he's not excluding the whole Ten Commandments by any means, but he's specifically talking about that. So Paul's saying this. This is the law of Christ. What does fulfill mean? Fulfill is simply obey. This is what you ought to be doing. This is a command. That's good. And what is a burden? A burden is like a heavy load, maybe? A duty or something that's come upon you that's difficult? Something that might cause you hardship. It might be an anxiety you have, or perhaps a grief, or it might be simply a nuisance, perhaps. Now, I don't want to think about, it's a command, which command to do this. It's not a legalistic sense where this is, if you're not doing this, you're... However, our better motivation would be, if I do this, I'll do what is well-pleasing to the Savior. And that would be a good motivation. We should want to do that. He has required this as proof of my love and obedience to him, and if I don't do this, I displease him and dishonor his name. Right? We know that everything we do is tainted with bad motives. Yes, 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 we repent and we turn it back to Christ, but Christ sanctifies those works to good. So bearing another's burdens, maybe the first, depending on your mindset, you might come right to immediately to, how about financially? Yeah, I think that we could help somebody financially, or at least be, this is, we're talking about a fellow believer, but it also could mean that if a fellow believer is falsely accused about something, we should at least sympathize with them. We certainly would sympathize with one who's had with a family who's had a death of the family. That's part of bearing with them, right? Back to the financial part, we have to be careful not to, it's a pop psychology term, I guess, but we don't want to develop a codependency relationship with them that they're depending on us to provide money to keep them going, right? You have to be really careful about that, but that's a deacon kind of job, and they're perfectly aware of all this, but we have to be careful about that, not just, we want to help if we can, but we have other commandments, right, to support our own family, so we don't give all our money away to the poor person, or even to really worthy causes, missions. We can't give all our money to missions for the same reason. We still have an overriding requirement to provide for our own family. And how much does that mean to provide for our own family? Of course, we have a tendency to do that with our children, is over-support them. There's a lot of things we can do that goes beyond what the commandment is saying. Bear one another's burden. I recently read a book from, I don't know if you had a chance to read that yet, The Glory of a True Church. Benjamin Keach had some suggestions about how we would deal with this in the church. So here's a little example from his book. I'll give him credit, of course. He's talking about a brother who is struggling with a sin. He said, a true Christian who has a violent temper, okay, anybody, my temper is maybe not violent, but I have a temper that shouldn't be there, right? let me start over again. A true Christian who has a violent temper, which makes himself and all about him very uneasy. Okay, we can identify with that. We've been around angry people, right? We get very uneasy about that. His fellow Christian must not take occasion from that infirmity of his brother to make himself feel better or to be complacent about his issues, whatever they may be. But he must patiently bear the uneasiness which the anger produces and use in the spirit of Christian love the appropriate means for curing it. How would we cure someone that had an anger issue? We'll bring him back to the scripture, I presume. But not discouraging them or casting them aside or not associating with them. And here's another part of it. He says, he who is quick and irritable, let him bear with the slow and sluggish. So we got two different kinds of people. Some people are like, you know, quick. They get irritated because you're not catching up. Of course, that's one of my temptations in class, right? dummy students, why aren't they catching on? It's not that, it's pretty simple. I've explained it as many different, okay. He who is quick and irritable, let him bear with the slow and sluggish, and let the slow in turn bear with the quickness of the fiery brother, each knowing that the burden is heavier on him who bears it than on him who bears with it. It's more difficult for the person that's quick and irritable than it is for the one who has to bear with it, or the other way around. So bearing with one another's burdens means that at least it means this. When a Christian brother or sister under a burden stumbles and falls, we are not to let him just lie on the ground and recover the best way they may, right? Just leave him be. No. Or far less, we should not insult or laugh at him for their weakness, or perhaps even worse, allow the world to mock them, right? If anything, we're in some kind of a relationship here where we should defend each other if when we're accused, or if something happens and you fall, you should be out there. You should at least help them. Here's what we should do. We are to take the person by the hand and help them to regain their footing, pressing forward with all of us together towards the prize of our high calling. We're called to a high place. We are marching to Zion, right? I think we sang that a couple weeks ago, where we all be relieved from our burdens. So this is one of those hard sayings. So that's introduction. This morning, I'd like to consider some encouragement in our thought process as we consider bearing with one another, especially when forgiveness is a hard duty, right? And again, this is from John Brown's commentary on Galatians. So, first, consider what burden Christ has done for us. So as an encouragement to bear with others' burdens, so we've talked about what are those burdens, what are some of those possibilities, and there's other, I didn't cover everything, right? There's all kinds of burdens that we have within a church or even within a family, for crying out loud. We bear with each other. We're patient with one another. We realize that we're not perfect and we're going to be struggling. So consider one way to motivate ourselves, perhaps, to consider again what Christ has borne for you, right? Have we sinned? Have we offended him? Have we broke his law? Yeah. Have you thought about his perfection, perfectly holy, perfectly knowing, perfectly judge, perfectly just? We can't deny that we have not broken his law. Lord Jesus Christ took on that burden. It was a high cost. He lived a perfect life of obedience, then was accused, innocent, accused, and took the punishment due for our sin through the cross. Romans 5 says, God demonstrates his own love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then Paul goes on to say, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be safe from the wrath of God through him. So it's a real understatement to say Christ bore a great burden for his people. Most of us have had children, and we maybe get a sort of a hint of what that was like. And I always marveled at that I would work and provide for my children, and they would, I'm not saying my children were exceedingly disrespectful. I'm just saying it just amazes me at what they assume. Even a little toddler. It's like, okay, I get that, but teenagers. It's like, wow.
That's human nature.
It's human nature, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's a reminder. If we take it carefully, it's a reminder of how we treat the Lord. We're just like that. We're worse than that because he's perfectly holy. I'm not perfect. First, we have a few people that have taught children. As a high school teacher, I understand. It's crazy, man. You know, you prepare a lesson and they're like sleeping or whatever. It's just amazing. I'm not really a teacher, but I'm an instructor, but it's still sort of the same thing. So that's a big deal. Let's remind ourselves occasionally. What has he done for me? And we are just the way. We're just about as ungrateful as that. Right? How often do we sit down and just spend a whole day thinking about God's mercy? I hope we do. The Lord has borne our burdens and should remind or motivate us, or motivate our desire to bear one another's burdens. Okay, so two, what burdens do you have that you have to bear of your own, right? You've got your own burdens that you've got to bear with, right? And that should remind us that we should bear others' burdens. It's hard enough to bear someone's burdens, but then you do have to bear your own burdens. I got lots of weaknesses, right? You all, and some of it's, you know, you should. Mine is public. Yours are private. But deal with your own burdens. You can imagine. I mean, I often have a lack of a desire to read the Word. But I think of myself way too much. And I put a lot of weight on my own mind, my own, and I have a tendency towards depression, the word. I have my own struggles. Therefore, I should have some motivation to bear with the deal with others. We were joking about being introverts. Your husband and I are introverts, right? We can deal with social situations, but speaking to strangers is difficult. Honestly, it's just very difficult. But so I'm called to do that, right? I have struggles with speaking to strangers about Christ. It's a fault for an elder, for sure. It's a burden for me to bear. So knowing about our own burdens should help us to consider that others are going through the same sort of burdens. Not exactly the same, certainly not. But I have great sympathy for the extrovert, because that's a burden, right? Because when do they have time to... I'm liable to say something ugly about extroverts because, you know, we're just different. But it's not that there's anything wrong with that. But I do feel sorry for them. They've got their own issues. All right. So, number three, are you in some things a burden to others within the church? Have you ever thought about that? Are you a burden to people around you? I mean, in a sense, it's not a hard burden, but we do pray for you. Okay. I mean, it's not a big, horrible thing. And I'm not saying that bearing people's burdens has got to be a horrible thing or a hard thing, but it's something to think about. Have you thought about that? Have you ever been that way? Because of my other issues, hopefully you're not aware of it, but I probably have sinned against you because you've just been difficult and stiff-necked. And what does Moses say, right? I'm not literally talking about anybody here in the church, but I'm just saying it's possible that you've been uncooperative in our urging for you to move. And for me personally, man, I've walked by you in church, right, and I haven't said hi. All right, but you bear with me, right? You don't normally get mad at me when I walk past you or if I forget your name. That's a burden. In some sense, you could take offense at that. So you're by your mercy and grace, you're going, that's just Robin. It's just him. Yeah, go ahead. Talk loud.
This speaks to the strength of love. Mm-hmm. Bearing one another's burdens, Paul says in Galatians 5, mm-hmm. The whole law is fulfilled in this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And how am I to bear my neighbor's burdens without love? And then even more so, how am I to bear my own? I'm my own worst enemy. Christ says, love your enemies.
Right.
That's me, primarily.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also that, as we consider one another, love allows us to look outside ourselves and consider the other person no longer as an isolated unit. We may not consider a weaker brother and his maybe faults or opinions or thoughts. We may think, you know, this guy needs to get his life together, he needs to get in shape, you know, right, whatever right. It may be. Get his theology right.
Right.
And we don't bear with one another in love that way. So mm-hmm. love helps us to consider others outside of ourselves.
Right.
It's naturally yeah. directed toward another person.
Right. In a very practical way, I know that I've had people come to me, oh, I'm sort of depressed and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, well, that thing's, you know, how to get out of that. There's really a simple thing is follow Christ's commands, love one another, because you're loving yourself. That's why you're depressed, in my opinion. That's why I get depressed, because I'm loving myself, thinking, poor me. Whatever it is, there's something going on. But yeah, you're right. All of this is motivation towards loving one another greater in a greater means.
And
yeah, go ahead.
I just want to mention this. I agree with everything that you said, what Scott said. But as we're teaching to bear one another's burdens, the person that has that burden, you know, the other side of that coin, we don't want to use this commandment to love to be licensed to be like we just want to be
right.
and demand love from other people, to, you know, regardless of how we are. We all, and we realize, I know
yeah,
you realize.
Sure, sure. So
we should all strive to be lovable.
Right. Lovable. And some more so than others.
And yeah.
Yeah.
You're looking straight at me, I understand it.
I don't mean it that way, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's a good point, because we're certainly not a license to be as ugly as you can be or be the one that's a bigger burden, right? Because if we're looking after other people's burdens, then we don't want to be a greater burden. And that would go back to, well, that goes to the same point. Yeah, are you that you need to be reminded occasionally that in some things we are a burden to the rest of the church in many different ways, and no way for me to list them all. But I could. I've got a list here, but I'm not going to do it because I started thinking that's probably pretty ugly. But knowing that you may be a burden, even an unknown burden, right, to others, and they are bearing with you, should increase your desire to bear other burdens in exchange by love, because of love, because we love one another. Okay, four. Do you want others to help you bear your burdens? Okay, this is from. Again, from this perk, so I want to make sure I give him credit. Benjamin Keach. Okay. Oh, that's wonderful. It'll dry up. It's water. So you want to help, do you want others to help you bear your own burdens? So now you're aware that you are in some way a burden to others. It's your wish to help others bear your burdens? Yeah. I should know that I'm grateful when you give me the grace and the volume of my voice, right? You just spent $30,000. To make it so you guys can hear in the back row. I mean, I appreciate that. But you, all these years, have been bearing with my voice. Okay, fine. I appreciate that. Church has been gracious to me when my work schedule required me to work one Sunday out of every month. You helped with that burden. It was not some pleasing thing that I wanted to do. It was something you bore with me. So we should think about that. We do want people to help us. It may seem like a selfish motive, but if you wish others would help you bear your burdens, don't you think it would be at least pragmatic to bear other people's burdens, right? Marriage advice, sometimes it suggests a 50-50%, a 50-50 agreement in marriage. And sorry, that's not right. It's not like that at all. It's 90%, 10% probably at best. 90% one of you gives. You understand what I'm saying, right? It's not, that's not, 50-50 is not the kind of sacrificial love that Christ gave, nor does he command this kind of transactional relationship within a church, right? We do what we can for each other. We bear with one another's burdens. Five, is it possible that God might cause you to bear a more heavy burden because you are unwilling to bear your brother's burdens? Let's turn to Matthew 18. I think I can do that. We'll look at verse 21, I guess. Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often... We've read this a few Sundays ago. How often shall a brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times, Jesus said. I would say you go up to seven times, up to 77 times. Okay. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with the slaves. When he had begun to settle them, he who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all he had in repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. Debt forgiven. But that slave went out and found his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what it was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved, came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he could repay all that owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Not forgiveness, but in a sense, if we're unwilling to bear others' burdens, that's somewhat similar. It might be a stretch here, but I mean, it's somewhat similar. Because part of bearing with one another's burdens is forgiving one another for offenses or irritations even, or whatever. And back to Galatians, Paul reminds us about the law of the harvest. See, we reap what you sow. So selfish flesh reaps corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit obtain life. So I think there's at least some connection there. If we're unwilling to bear one another's burdens, that goes to our understanding of grace and mercy and what the Lord has done to it. And that goes back to item number one, which is remind ourselves as an encouragement to bear one another's burdens, is to remind ourselves again that what Christ has done for us. He's forgiven us a great debt. He's put up with all the junk that we do, all the disrespect, all the lack of thankfulness, all of these things that we do, and we look and we see, we criticize our children for that or whatever, or our students, whatever. That's, he's putting up with all that. We should at least consider doing that for our brothers and sisters. So hopefully this will be, I'm a little bit early. That's it. I'm a little bit early, but that's okay. I 1689, I will mention that real quick, as long as we got a second. Chapter 26 of the church, paragraph 13. No church member, upon any offense taken by them, having performed their duty required of them toward the person they are offended at, or ought to disturb any church order, or absent themselves from the assemblies of the church, or administration of any ordinances upon the account of such offense at any of their fellow members, but to wait upon Christ in the further proceedings of the church. Part of that's talking about church discipline, but other part of it is, yeah, we're going to get offended by one another. We're not allowed to just walk out the door and say, adios. We've made a commitment to one another. We've made a covenant with one another. So we need to stick with it and start with Matthew 18 earlier in the chapter, you know, talking to them one-on-one, trying to help them, bearing with their burden, helping them, and taking two or three together with you. And eventually to the church if necessary. But that's an important thing. That's part of bearing with one another's burdens, is not just leaving them on the ground. You have an offense with somebody in the church, walking out and saying, bye-bye, I don't care about you anymore. I mean, what's the opposite of love? The opposite of love isn't hate. It's, I don't care. You say, I don't care. That's pretty much the opposite of love, right? I don't care. You offended me? I don't care. I'm just leaving. That's not right. Go ahead.
I'll say, too, that love is really risky because the fear of rejection is so high. have a trust and a love for one another, we can confess our sins to one another. If I'm loved by you but not known by you, that's really superficial.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really know me and then you reject me, I mean, rejection there is just crushing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if I really expose myself to you and really trust your love, I've heard love defined as giving the other person a loaded gun and trusting that mm-hmm. they will shoot you with it. Mm-hmm. And so if I trust that you love me, I can confess my sin, and that love will cover that sin, and you'll help me mm-hmm. with my burden. But if we're not willing to risk that,
yeah.
you know, that's why love is so risky, because the fear of rejection is so high yeah. among us.
Yeah, and that's it's risky. The fear of rejection is high, absolutely, and that's why it's a different atmosphere in the church. Hopefully, we work towards that. We're still humans, and we're still struggling with it, but we want to work towards that. Yeah, I mean, and it helps to have smaller groups too, because yeah, you know, people in my home group sort of know me, yeah, and that helps a little bit to be a little less large. We don't hope to be a mega church by any means. If anybody thought that we had that intention, no. Yeah. Because smaller churches have the opportunity. Yeah. Brian.
I was just going to build off what Scott said. You have to be willing for other people to know, for them to bear your burdens. You know, we live in a culture that our friends are online and we don't really know them. They don't really know us. They don't know what you choose to share. So if you're having a burden that you're struggling with, that if I really know you, I'm less likely to take that as an offense if I know you and love you.
Yeah, Ryan makes a good point that you have to know each other. If you have no relationship, you know, and it takes time and it takes patience and concern. Yeah. Is that accurate, what I just said? My mind is. Well, you would know that. Yeah. All right, we've got 4 minutes left. Any other comments? Yes. Adam.
I'm told, again, Hebrews 12:14, to pursue peace with everyone. And I'll make a connection there that we should pursue to bear the burdens of those around us. It's not often that it just falls in line. You know, we have to actually put ourselves out there and let people know that we're there to help, that we want to bear that with.
12:15, Hebrews 12:15?
12:14.
14, okay. Yeah, pursue peace with all men and sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. See through it that no one comes. No root of bitterness. Absolutely, yeah. Right. Yeah. That's a good point. All right. Any reports from your husband? Is he doing okay?
Yeah.
Good. He's doing fine. Good. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your grace and mercy to provide us with a place to come and to worship you as we're about to enter worship. I pray that you be with our worship, that it would be true and honoring to you, and it would be edifying to one another as well. Be with the scripture reading and the hymn singing and prayers, and be with especially with the preaching of the word. I pray that you continue to be merciful to us as you have always been. Help us to be more thankful as well. And again, I pray that our love for Christ will increase as our love for one another would increase. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.